Good afternoon, everybody. We are gathered to remember the life of Shawnee Barstatus, who was the daughter, sister, extended relative, or friend to all those who are present here today. And we're gathered together for three purposes: to celebrate her life, and to mourn her absence together, and to be comforted together by the hope and the promises of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And look around at all the love and support in this room. We do not go through this journey alone. We'll be graciously served in song today by some friends of Shawnee's from Glen Arbor Community Church, as well as we will hear sentiments from family and friends. But before we begin, let's all stand together as we open in prayer. Dear Father, we celebrate Shawnee's life today. We thank you for the promise of eternal life. We also ask that you would use this time to comfort those who mourn, and that you would draw us all closer to yourself this morning. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing as we worship together in song.
Precious blood.
Remember Shawnee? Shawnee was born on September 13th, 1971, and she was adopted into this wonderful family, her mother Linda, her father the late Robert Barstatus, and many brothers and sisters and extended relatives are here with us today. I called Friday night and talked to one of her brothers and said, "Now how many are there exactly?" He said, "Just say many." Many brothers and sisters and extended relatives. She grew up in Wheaton and was a graduate of Wheaton North High School in 1990. She was in band in junior high all the way through high school. And later, after high school, was a member of the Knights Drum and Bugle Corps. Was anyone here from there? I know that I saw some Facebook posts from them and their sentiments. She grew up in Wheaton Bible Church, and she found faith in Jesus Christ as a young child. And over the last 17 years, she's been a member of Glen Arbor, and it was during these years that I've had the privilege of knowing her and laboring together with her in the gospel in various ministries. She held many jobs over the years, including, and I was just brainstorming some that I could remember, the kinder care. She was a nanny for different families, some that are here today. She's a bus driver at Septran Bus Company and was most recently a long-term employee at Hardee's. And in the last few years, she found much joy in being involved in the Wheaton Drama Community Theater. Here's a photo that was on Facebook for her. She's very proud of that time. And, of course, I have to mention how huge of a Chicago Blackhawks fan she was. And here she getting an autograph from one of the players. Well, she died this Tuesday, February 3rd, 2015, at age 43. And as I've reflected on Shawnee's life, two words have stuck in my mind, and those were faithful and steadfast. Shawnee was faithful. She had a deep loyalty both to her friends and to her family. In fact, I was encouraged when I saw on Facebook that she was with her family on Saturday, just this last Saturday, at a birthday party, which she loved to go to these birthday parties. And she was so faithful and so loyal. She's faithfully loved kids all throughout her adult life, even though here's a photo of her with some kids at church. And even though she was never married or had any kids of her own, I've seen how she lived out her maternal instincts in the lives of so many children over so many years. She always remembered birthdays, always gave gifts, and I've often been inspired to be as attentive to those types of things as Shawnee was. She was also faithful in serving in ministry. Over the entire 17 years that I've known her, Shawnee has been involved with my wife and I. It seemed like whatever we did, she was there through the whole time. Or in the early days, in a college ministry we had called The Rock. This is a photo of her and Amanda doing a little skit at College of DuPage during that time period. I think that's about 15 years old. She worked and labored in teen ministry for a number of years. And in the last decade, she was involved with us in children's ministry with Awana and Sunday School. This is a photo of her just this fall praying with some of the Awana kids as they were sending out shoeboxes through Samaritan's Purse. She was always there and always involved. I thought about whatever version of home church that I was in, whether a house church or home group or whatever you want to call it, she was always there with us. And even in the last few years, during our latest edition of those, these home fellowship groups, she would always text me the week of and say, "Mike, aren't we supposed to be having a home fellowship meeting this Sunday?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, that's right. Are you going to send an email?" "Oh yeah, I forgot." So she's the one. She was like my personal assistant. And I'd always remember to send out these emails through her. She was always there. As I've thought about the last 17 years and whatever ministry, whatever home group, she was always there. She was always present. Shawnee was a faithful woman. She was also steadfast. She was steadfast in her growth as a person, and you'll read some of that in the printed testimony that's in your bulletin this afternoon. And over the last 17 years, I've slowly seen her grow at her own pace, but grow in her life in different ways. I remember when she first started coming around to our church here, and we encouraged her to get baptized. And I don't think she had been baptized, but she was afraid of that. But eventually she said, "You know, I want to do it." And she did it. She got baptized. And then she was thinking about getting her driver's license, but she had some fear of that. But over time, she did it. She got her driver's license. She got a car. Ultimately, not everybody may know this, but ultimately, she got a college degree. Over the time, she improved her life in many ways. She grew in ministry responsibility. She started out in Awana as a Sparks leader, but then worked her way up, and she was Sparks director the last couple years here. And she's really proud of doing that. And she took some steps back and had some hard times as well, but I will tell you, whenever she did, she was very humble and asking for advice, sometimes with tears in her eyes, she would come and ask for advice, and would listen and take it to heart, take it to God, and make some choices. And over the last couple years, we were so proud that she had found a long-term place to live, a steady place to live over the last couple years, and a job, a steady job that she held on to over the last couple years, and she's just really, we were very proud of those steps of growth. She was also a woman who was steadfast in her faith, despite hard times that she went through and various struggles that she had. I never once heard or saw her waver in her faith, despite the circumstances that she was in. She was a steadfast woman in the faith. Her faith was precious to the Lord. The psalmist wrote, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants." Psalm 116:15. And we know from Scripture that life is a gift from God. He appoints our time here on earth. And He numbers our days. And our time here on earth is an opportunity to love and to serve God and to love and to serve people. And Shawnee was a faithful and steadfast servant of people and servant of the Lord and friend to us all. At the end of the written testimony that you have in the bulletin, she challenges us to do the same. She said, at the very last, her very last challenge was, "My prayer for you is that you listen to those who are teaching you and that you always have a heart for God." I'll remember many things about Shawnee. I'll remember her cheerful disposition. I'll remember how she always wanted me to watch some video on her phone. Did anyone have that? But mostly, I will remember her faithfulness and her steadfastness, both in her faith and in her life. Amen. Now we would like to have a few family and friends also share their memories and sentiments. And we are going to start with Shawnee's brother, Noah Barstatus. Is he here? Oh, there you are.
Sorry. Okay, as mentioned, I'm Noah Barstatus, Shawnee's brother, Shawnee's Colorado brother. I've been living out there for a while. You might have maybe heard of it. Anyway, when I think of Shawnee, three words quickly come to mind. It's selflessness, caring, and generosity. Shawnee was always putting other people's needs in front of her own. If a friend or family member needed something, Shawnee was sure to be the first one to offer to help. Whether she was offering to watch someone's children or to stop by and drop off an item for the store, Shawnee was there. Shawnee loved children. Kids loved Shawnee too. Whether she was picking up and consoling a crying baby or helping a five-year-old read a book, Shawnee was there. Children could connect with Shawnee, and she knew it. Shawnee was the type of person that never missed calling you on your birthday. She would send gifts to her nieces and nephews on their birthdays, even though she knew she could barely pay her bills. But again, that was Shawnee putting other people first. So now I'd like to share a few thoughts from some of Shawnee's friends. I'm sure some of you are in the audience here. I took some excerpts from Facebook. I don't know a lot of Shawnee's friends, obviously, so I figured it'd be good to share a few of these. I'm not putting any names with them, just some of the thoughts that I read. Shawnee loved the Lord, loved her church, loved my family, loved her many friends, and was always kind and considerate, a joy to be around. Every WANA event, every church function or gathering, Shawnee was always there serving and giving her time unconditionally. She watched our kids in the nursery when they were young, taught them in Sunday school as they grew, led them in WANA each week through rain, snow for many, many years. I never heard an unkind word from her, even though she was often going through difficult times. I hope you can feel the outpouring of love right now, Shawnee. You are so missed in this world. I love your stories of your family and hearing the joy in your voice when you spoke for them. Your smile will forever live in our hearts. You taught us so many things. Thank you, Shawnee, for the love you always showed to those around you. God bless you and the sweet soul that you were. I praise God to have known you. Your gentle spirit, soulful heart, warm smile will dearly be missed by every person that was lucky enough to know you. You bring so much kindness to those who knew you. All the children at Glen Arbor will not forget your kindness, nor will I. Again, that was Shawnee. We love her and we're going to miss her.
I need glasses. It's tough to stand up here today, given the circumstances, but I'm grateful to have known and loved Shawnee. So at the same time, I'm privileged to be here. As we are all thrown off course this week by this sudden and unexpected loss, it makes our hearts even heavier. Shawnee deserves celebration because her life shined and reflected that of her first love, which was Jesus Christ. She personally touched mine so deeply by helping me raise my five children when they were young, loving on them and making them each feel so special. That is something that I will always be indebted to her for. Shawnee always loved life, and her interests were diverse, to say the least. I remember her watching hours of Drumline tapes, Garth Brooks concerts, and River Dance. Some of those that know her remember those. As of late, her obsession has been hockey. Those, and she enjoys those with a full-fledged dedication and fervor. Never a birthday would go by without a call to each and every one of us. She was warm, loving, and generous to a fault, forgetting sometimes her own needs, like Noah said, to make a child smile or to warm someone's heart. My heart is heavy, but it is also full. She had a faithful and loving relationship with Jesus, and we have the assurance of knowing her eternal home is with her Heavenly Father who created her to be the amazing woman that she was.
I am Jim Haworth, and if you guys aren't aware of my connection to Shawnee, it'll probably become apparent as I read our, it's really our whole family's testimony. Shawnee's departure from us to go to heaven is, you know, it's kind of been unreal to our family. I know, especially to me, and a couple of thoughts have passed through my mind as I've thought on it. One is that I'm going to be heading home. And I'm going to see her white car parked in front of our house again. I'm going to walk in, and she's going to say, it's all been a big practical joke. She's going to say, that was a good one, wasn't it? But she's not going to do it the way some people do it. You know, some people, when they pull a good practical joke, it's like, yeah, I got you. But Shawnee, she was always low-key. You know, it'd be like, that was a good one, wasn't it? The other possibility I've had is gone through my mind is, maybe this is all just a bad dream. Every once in a while, I'll have a dream about my wife, you know, about what my life would have been like if my wife wasn't in it. And then I'll wake up and I'm like, oh, it's just a dream. And I'll be very appreciative that my wife is still with me. And so I thought, well, maybe that's just what's happened with Shawnee. You know, this is all an opportunity for me to express my deepest appreciation for Shawnee. But unfortunately, it's been a long time, so I don't think it's a dream. I'm going to have to wait till heaven to give Shawnee my full appreciation. But I'll be really glad when I get to do that. Shawnee is like family to us. We kind of knew that and didn't know that at the same time, because she isn't like officially a member of our family. We all appreciate her, but we wish we could show her more appreciation now that she's taken her journey to heaven. You know, it's like that with family. You know, they're with you all the time, and you just don't think about, well, what if they were just suddenly gone? So I think one thing that I'm taking away from this, and that I think we can all take away from this, is appreciate all the people around us, because they could be gone. You know, people leave quickly and suddenly. So I just want to try to remember to be that way for everybody I'm around, because we really appreciated Shawnee, and we appreciate her so much more now that she's gone. But we will see her in heaven. Over the last 4 or 5 days, I found myself often reviewing in my mind the last times I saw Shawnee. And I'd like to share them now because I think they're a good reminder of a bit of who Shawnee is. Last time I saw Shawnee was at Awana on the Wednesday night before her heart attack. She does Sparkies and I do Truth and Training, so we don't see each other much. But as we were leaving, I saw Luke, my son, give her a big hug. And Shawnee was always giving our kids big hugs and showing them love. So it's just an image that just stuck out in my mind. The second from last time I saw Shawnee was over at our house on the Sunday before her heart attack. And she was at our house watching the NHL All-Star game with my daughter Maria while we all did other things, because we don't really like hockey that much. But she would periodically update us with some new score from the game, and I would lament that it seemed like they weren't playing any defense in this game when there were so many scores. And And then later on, Patrick Kane scored, and I was confused. Well, how could he score for one team when it seemed like another Blackhawk had scored for the other team? And then Shawnee proceeded to explain to me how the NHL All-Star game works. It was just an example. Shawnee is very smart. And I say, by the way, is, because she's up in heaven. She's very smart. Another time I saw her, this was the second from last time she was at Awana. Mr. Eichen, who's our truth and training commander, he was unexpectedly delayed. And so we had to get the thing going. And none of us had ever done opening ceremonies before. And so basically, Shawnee took it. None of us were like, I don't want to do it. I don't know exactly what I'm doing. So Shawnee took it over for us. Another example, Shawnee. I mean, we've all been doing it 13 years, but Shawnee was the one who came in there and got the job done. Another time was, this was like a few weekends ago, we were having our family game night, and Shawnee always showed up for any kind of party at our house. So we were playing the game night, and Shawnee was sitting right across from me. He's playing apples to apples. And I took an early lead, but, you know, Shawnee, she's a very good gamer, and she ended up tying me. but I just have that image of Shawnee. I can just see her. She's just sitting right there, and it was special. There's so many times like that where she's just there playing the games with us. And then the last recollection I'm going to share is, as previous people said, you know, she was always doing special things for people's birthdays. So in the case of our kids, she would always come over and make a birthday dinner for them. And so she came over, and even though she had to go to work at Hardee's like at 11, she worked hard making chicken crescent squares for the birthday of two of my daughters together, Hannah and Ruthie. And we had a great birthday dinner, and you know, per what other people said, you know, she was always giving gifts for birthdays, even though she really didn't have that much money. Now's the part where I explain how come Shawnee's so connected to us a little bit more. Shawnee lived with us for 10 years and helped out Rebecca, my wife, in exchange for rent. When the kids were younger, there were always little things where we would need some help, and Shawnee would volunteer to help out, even though it wasn't part of the work she had to do for rent. I mean, you know, I think it was like 15 hours a week she worked, but I mean, I'm sure we got 30 hours a week of work out of her. I mean, not that we were trying to. She'd just always offer. But, yeah, sure, Shawnee, you can do that. Shawnee shared about Jesus with all of our children and exhorted them to have a personal saving relationship with him. And all of them do. So, you know, she was successful. I mean, we also as parents did, but Shawnee was very vigilant in it as well. And I think many of them did it with Shawnee, not us. Frequently, she gave me updates as to some spiritual step my kids had taken or something good they did. Every year, she came over as Awana was coming to an end and helped them finish their Awana books. So as parents, we always got to feel really proud. Look, our kids finished their Awana books. But the reality is, Shawnee did all the work. and Shawnee did many other things. But I think ultimately, the measure of Shawnee's impact on us is our emotional response now that she has gone away and we're not going to see her for a while. You know, I've been alive 48 years, and I've had my grandparents die, and I've had some good friends pass away, but Shawnee's the first one that actually brings tears to my eyes when I think about it. Not that I'm necessarily going to do it before you guys now, but I think I must be an extrovert because I get energy from people. But and then in the case of, you know, other people in my family, several of my daughters have just cried themselves to sleep at night. And I'm not trying to make people feel sad for us. I'm trying to say is Shawnee really made a big impact on our life, you know? It's just a measure of the impact she had and the person and just how much she made a difference in our lives. My son Luke, he hasn't talked much about it, but his teacher in an email to me on Fridays indicated that he's been very quiet, and that that he had mentioned several times to her that Shawnee was his best friend. And that gets back to the hug thing, the image of the hug. When I'm alone, I cry about that. and I think the emotions are because she was just such a big part of our lives, and she's going to be greatly missed, but she's not going to be forgotten. So, and another thing I'd like to share too is, everyone struggles with things, and Mike mentioned this too, and Shawnee had her struggles. But we saw Shawnee grow in really big ways in the last couple of years. And I know when I visited her in the hospital, I said it to her, and I had said it to her several times before. We were very proud of her. We were very proud of the things she was doing in her life. And, but her life was difficult too. Shawnee had a lot, there was difficult things in Shawnee's life. And, one example of this, I think Mike alluded to it earlier, is that, I think ideally she would have liked to have been married and had children of her own. And that's just one example of, I think, a difficulty that Shawnee struggled with. And I know that would have been hard for me. And I think it was hard for Shawnee too. So one thing I've thought about in respect to this is Romans 8, 28 and 29, where it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." And so my thought on this is that, she's leaving us early, and we're all very sad about that. But I'm thinking God, in his infinite wisdom, he might have taken her home because, he's done with the work that he had in terms of conforming her to the likeness of his son down here on earth. And he wants to give her the blessings of heaven now. He's done a lot of good work with her, and it was time to take her home. Another thing I thought about as I reflected on this is that if he works the same way in my life as he worked in Shawnee's life, I'm going to live to a really old age. But God works different ways. He's infinite. He's very smart, so we don't really know how that's going to work. But lastly, I'd like to leave you with the words of a letter my daughter Maria wrote to Shawnee when she heard she was in the hospital. "Dear Shawnee, I am really sad that this has happened to you, and I really hope you get better, because I don't think I could stand it if you died. Life wouldn't be the same without you. But I'm trying not to cry, because I know if this is God's plan, something good will come from it. You are the reason I became a Christian. You always made my birthday special. You always made me happy when I was sad. You were, and still hopefully are, the best thing in my life, and I'm not lying. You gave me Christ, and that is all I need. Thank you for being a part of my life. You better get better, because the Blackhawks will miss their number one fan." Love, Maria.
I'm Shawnee's niece, and we're going to play a song that is called "Soon" by Brooke Frazier. I was really excited when I was asked to play this because Shawnee loved my music and always told me how great it was. So this is for her.
Thank you. name is Dean Claypatch. I am one of the pastors here at Glen Arbor Community Church. I became aware that Shawnee was in the hospital on Monday afternoon, and I just wanted to share a few of my thoughts about that. So I thought we could just pray for a minute, and let's just do that. Join me before God. Lord, thank you for our friend. Thank you for Shawnee. Thank you for her life. I pray what I share would be edifying and helpful and true. Amen. Times like these make you think. We live, most of us, in the suburbs, a pretty fast-paced life. But when things like these happen, especially suddenly, it makes us stop, a lot of us. It did for me. It did for me. I went to the hospital Monday night, and it was obvious from talking with the doctors and the family that there wasn't much time for Shawnee. It was a day or so, and that would be about it. And I went home from the hospital Monday night and got up Tuesday, and I was reading, and I go, wow, Lord, how do you make sense of this? How do I sort this out? What happens? Why is this happening? And Shawnee had hope for her future. It's in your bulletin, some of what happened spiritually in her life. And I was reading in Luke. I wanted to just share this in Luke chapter 7 as I was trying to really sort things out for myself. And Jesus Christ talked about John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist had a very interesting ministry, had a very interesting life. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent, turn to God, because everything is going to change. Something is going to happen. He said, a man is coming. I am not fit to touch his shoes, to untie his sandals. He said, someone is coming who is above everyone else. And that was Jesus Christ. And a lot of us have heard and know his name. Well, in Luke chapter 7, Jesus talks about John the Baptist. This is what he says. This is 7:28. He says, I tell you, of all the men who have ever lived, is greater than John. That's an amazing statement. Of all the people important and those who don't seem important, the most important of everyone who had ever lived was John. God's economy, what does God measure? This is Jesus Christ speaking. He says he was the most important. And then he said something pretty amazing after that. He said, even the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. And I thought, that's Shawnee. That's her life. The least in the kingdom of God is greater because things had changed. This man, people could now have a relationship with God. And I thought, that's Shawnee. And we're here grieving because we've lost someone suddenly. And it makes us reflect on what's important. How am I living? Why did this happen so soon? The Apostle Paul talked about this concept of going to be with heaven. He wrote a letter to the church in Corinth. And he wasn't talking really about someone who had passed away. He was talking to the church in Corinth, and he said this to them in chapter 5. This is the second letter he wrote. He said, while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. It's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to be put into new bodies, that these dying bodies would be swallowed up by life. He's saying as we get older, what we're really looking for is life. When a person becomes a Christian, they come alive to God. And when they pass away, Shawnee's hope was when she passes away, she goes to be with God. And this process is complete. It gets finished. Whatever didn't happen happens then in terms of being close to God. It happens. God finishes the process. So Paul talks a little, four verses later in verse 8. This is what he says. He says, yes, we are fully confident. Ever been fully confident of anything? Fully confident, no doubts. This is what I'm fully confident of. This is what he said. I'm fully confident we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for we will be home with the Lord. She is home. She left us here, and we grieve and struggle with that loss. It's a loss for us. It's a gain for her because she is home now. You know, I was in the hospital. I went back to the hospital Tuesday. And some of you didn't have that chance. Some of us didn't find out until afterwards. I was privileged to be able to have the time and to find out early enough to go and be there at the hospital. And while I was there for a brief period of time, everyone else had to go. And I was there alone with Shawnee on Tuesday afternoon. And an older gentleman walked in. He's one of the chaplains at the hospital. He walks in, introduces himself. I'm a pastor. He's a chaplain. You want to know what pastors talk about when no one else is around? Here it is. He looks at her. He goes, I know her. He wasn't expecting that. He's making the rounds. I know her, he says. My son used to give her rides. I know her. He's older than most of you here. He was in his 70s. He looks at me and he says, why did God take her and not me? We wonder about things, don't we, when things like this happens? Why? And he looks at me. Why did God take her and not me? That's a good question. I have all these answers. Let me tell you. Well, why, indeed, God has a purpose for those who know him. I looked at him and said, God has a purpose for you. You are here. You are here for a reason. You are here, you're a chaplain, you're here to live a life of faith and tell other people, tell younger people what you know. Your work is not done. Her work is done. She's gone home. She's gone home. Why are you still here? We are all still here, grieving together as a family, as friends, as relatives, the loss that we were not expecting. Why are you still here? Maybe it's so you can recognize a little more of who God is and how good he is and where to put your hope. Times like these make of, where is my hope? What do I hope in? You know, Jesus spoke of this in John 14. Jesus was speaking, and he told a man, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. No one gets close to God. No one comes to the Father. What was he saying? A Christian is someone who's put their faith in Jesus Christ. This is what Shawnee did when she was younger. Her story's in the bulletin. What she did was she realized she couldn't save herself. That's what a Christian is. I cannot save myself from my imperfections, from my sin, from my weaknesses, from my tendencies. I need someone who doesn't have those to give themselves and make up for what I lack. For when God looks at my life, when God judges my life, what's he going to do? Someone has to do this for me. I cannot do it. That's what a Christian is. And that's what Shawnee's hope was in, that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was enough for her for every time she stumbled. And she talks about that in there. Why is Shawnee gone and we're still here? Why are you still here? Why? Maybe it's so you can realize that his sacrifice, his power, wasn't just enough for you yesterday, but it's enough for you today, and it's enough for you tomorrow. We're going to worship together. We're going to have the music team come up, and we're going to sing a few more songs together. I thought I could just pray before they come up. So why don't we bow your heads and you pray with me. Lord, thank you that you came, that we could know who you are. Thank you that you gave your life for us. Help us to know that. Help us to rely on you and not on ourselves and not on our own strength as Shawnee did. Help us to understand what it means to trust you. Amen.
Thank you, Dean. I love hearing that phrase, we're fully confident in the hope that we have, and so is Shawnee. It's a great story to read in the pamphlet there. We have a hope that does not disappoint at all, ever. And she was fully confident of that, and we're fully confident. So this is what we're hoping in. I hope you're hoping in it too, and we're going to sing about that. We're not just worshiping our Lord here today. We're singing about the hope that can be had, and the hope that is in Shawnee and has been fulfilled. So let's go ahead, and if you guys can join me standing, we're going to sing a song called Cornerstone.
Through the storm, he is majesty, and all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, the darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Now we'll see how great is our God. Time is in his hands.
Thank you, Lord, for your great hope to us and to Shawnee, that her joy is now complete and she has entered your rest, Lord. I pray all of us would take to heart the words we sung, that you would be our cornerstone and our hope, that we may have a hope and inheritance because of you. Thank you so much, Lord, that you love us, and one day you will kiss our face. In your name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. You can all have a seat. We're going to have Dean Claypatch come back up for a moment.
Thank you for all coming today and making the effort to honor Shawnee's life, to grieve together as a family, as friends, as church members. And don't feel like you have to rush off. We've got refreshments in typical Glen Arbor style. I said, I don't know if we're going to have enough snacks. Say that in a church and you know what happens. I think we have a three-course meal set up. If you would like to stay, we have refreshments, coffee, snacks down in the fellowship hall and beyond. So we would love for you to spend some time together, fellowship, talk, and encourage each other. But I just did want to pray just one more time, if that's okay, that God would help us grieve. We need his help for everything. We don't often realize how much we depend on him. And I just want to do that before we conclude today. Lord, thank you for grace. Thank you that you hold all things together. It's because of what you desire and what you allow. And thank you that you made this offer for us, for everyone, to know you. Thank you that you came and that we know what you're like from your son. As we go, God, help us grieve losing Shawnee together. Help us to encourage each other and help us to know and see you clearer as we go forward. Amen. Thank you for coming. We have refreshments down in the fellowship hall. Anywhere you want to fellowship together is fine with us. Mm-hmm.